Let's pray. Loving Father, open our ears and our hearts to your word through this season of Lent, that we may know Jesus more clearly, love him more dearly, and follow him more nearly. Amen. For those who believe, Lent is traditionally a time of repentance and of consciously turning our focus onto God, that we may come to better know him, his Son Jesus, our Saviour, and the Holy Spirit that is at work in our lives. Our Gospel reading today from John chapter 3 introduces us to Nicodemus, a leading Pharisee and member of the Jewish ruling council, and, it would appear, someone who wants to know more about Jesus and what he stands for. From the previous chapter, we can surmise that Nicodemus, given his position, would not only have been aware of Jesus driving the money changers and animal sellers out of the temple courts, but he may also have been part of the group of Jews questioning Jesus about his authority to do such a deed. The Jews had demanded a sign that would prove his authority. Jesus' answer to them was this: "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." This outlandish response and the other unnamed signs that Jesus was doing while he was in Jerusalem have clearly aroused Nicodemus' interest. There was something special about Jesus that had attracted him, and he wanted to know more about him, but being a high-profile Pharisee, it meant that he just couldn't be seen consulting with Jesus. So, fearful of being associated with him, Nicodemus approaches him under the cover of darkness. And the very first thing he says shows that he has respect for Jesus, for he calls him Rabbi, teacher. He recognizes that Jesus has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Thus begins this wonderful and very personal conversation between them, which gives us some of the Bible's most famous verses and some of its greatest theological teaching. 3 times during their exchange, Jesus introduces a point with the words, "Very truly, I tell you." This places an emphasis on what he is about to say, marking it out as being of particular importance. Firstly, and famously, he says, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." Some translations have "born from above" rather than "born again," but both are valid translations that allude to a different kind of birth from that we all experience at the beginning of our lives. Yet Nicodemus misses the point when he exclaims that surely a man cannot re-enter his mother's womb. To a good Jew like Nicodemus, being born into the earthly lineage of Abraham is vitally important. His identity was wrapped up in being a child of Abraham. It defined who he was, and it defined his relationship with God. Jesus was telling him this heritage wasn't enough. God is building a new family of faith, which means a new birth, a birth from above, is required to be a part of and to truly see the work of his kingdom. In this self-help age, we may find such a message of rebirth more familiar. We're used to the idea of transforming ourselves. Only for us as Christians, it is into what God wants us to be, not some idealistic role model, in inverted commas, of what the world perceives we should be. So we come to Jesus' second point of emphasis. He says, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit." John the Baptist baptized with water for repentance, for turning away from sin, a necessary first step. But a second baptism, a baptism of the Spirit, is also required to fully enter God's kingdom. The water baptism is an outward sign of being part of God's kingdom. For most of us in the Church of England, we would have been baptized as infants, and indeed, the liturgy of the baptism service draws from today's passage. Water baptism is a sign of our physical membership of the body of the Church. but for our faith to be made complete, to be confirmed, as it were, into spiritual membership of God's church, we need to experience the infilling of the Holy Spirit. This inward baptism comes directly from our intimacy with God. His gift to us of the Holy Spirit anoints us for service in His name, to not just enter the kingdom, but take its presence wherever we go. And thirdly, he says, very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. In short, having been reborn of the Spirit, we must testify to God's great work in our lives and in the world, even if that world refuses to listen. For Nicodemus, this is all a bit much for him to accept. He is still in the dark, unable at this point to declare himself a believer in Jesus as Messiah. But his struggle to come to terms with Jesus' teaching, his struggle to recognize the one who is the light of the world standing before him, leads to Jesus speaking one of the greatest verses in the whole of Scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16 was described by Martin Luther as the gospel in miniature, because it encapsulates God's whole message to humankind. For it tells us that God, the greatest lover, performs the greatest ever act of generosity, freely giving the greatest ever gift, his Son, to everyone alive and everyone who will ever live, and offering us the greatest invitation to believe in him, that we might receive complete and utter deliverance from our sins, and, yet more, the great bonus of eternal life in his perfect presence. God offers us salvation, not the condemnation we deserve. Who could possibly turn down such an incredible offer? These amazing words, uttered first within the intimacy of a secret meeting at night, are opened to all through the Gospel writer. Nicodemus's reaction isn't recorded by John, but his head must have been spinning. As a Jew, his belief in a coming Messiah was in one who would bring personal salvation for the righteous alone, i.e. the Jews, and judgment on those outside the chosen people, that is, the Gentiles. Jesus blows this worldview apart. He comes to give everyone the chance to be saved through believing in his Son. Nicodemus does, however, turn up again. We see him next in chapter 7, verse 50, when the Jewish council discusses whether they should arrest Jesus. He speaks up in defense of justice in the process, but is mocked as potentially being a Galilean, in other words, one of Jesus' followers. And then finally in chapter 19, verse 39, after the crucifixion of Jesus, Nicodemus accompanies Joseph of Arimathea in seeking permission from Pilate to take Jesus' body. It's Nicodemus who brings the myrrh and aloes with which they embalm Jesus and place him in the tomb. Such a loving act of worship shows us that he did ultimately come to not only believe in Christ crucified, but be brave enough to step out of the shadows and into the light. Ultimately, he would see with his own eyes Jesus, the temple, rebuilt, resurrected in 3 days. Just imagine how great a confirmation of his salvation that would be, given where his personal journey of exploration started. Like Nicodemus, it may take us time to fully grasp the nature, the significance of who Jesus is. Now is a really good time to come and seek him for ourselves, for in this season of Lent, there are opportunities galore to explore our faith. Through the local Lent courses, online materials from the Church of England and others, and a plethora of printed materials too. It's never too late for us to explore the full depth and breadth of what Jesus has done for us, and to receive for ourselves the precious gift of the Holy Spirit, that we too may be born anew into God's family, as we gratefully accept his wonderful invitation to believe in his Son and to take his kingdom to a broken world which so desperately needs the transformation of his unconditional love. Amen. Let's pray for a moment. Father God, we cannot thank you enough that out of the depth of your love for us, you have given us the precious gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. May we take up his call to be born again, to be born of water and spirit, that we might take your unconditional love to the world. Come, fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit, that we might see your kingdom coming here in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.